You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
Hello, I'm Pastor Jerome Ryan, the founder and CEO of the Love Center. We've been serving the region for over 30 years, helping families rebuild their lives. We're expanding our services. The Workforce Discipleship Center providing housing for the working class homeless. Yes, repeat, for the working class homeless, for single men and single women. We are offering financial literacy and strategies along with spiritual discipleship. For more information, please call the Workforce Discipleship Office at 772-207-6925. Again, 772-207-6925. Our staff is waiting to assist you or someone you know.
The following program was recorded at an earlier date.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Kingdom Recovery. I'm Luann Linnegan, and I'm with...
James Rich.
Hi, James. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. Love, love. So happy. Some announcements. You listen to WCNO. It's 5 p.m. every Friday, Kingdom Recovery. And we're happy to be here and host the 12-step program or 12-step programs relate to the Word of God. And we are on step 10. Woohoo! It's been... we just finished step 9, and I just want to make a couple announcements about Pastor Tom being here the last... He'll be on the last Friday of this month. Sometimes it's usually the 3rd, but we had a little change of schedule this month. So, and that's at the King's Table, where it's where we talk about the Word of God as, you know, kingdom mindset and what God's talking about in His Scripture as it relates to His kingdom here on earth, right, James?
Amen.
And that's what we talk about here in when we do these 12 steps and words that we use, you know, like the fruit that we grow. And I want to talk about that before we start, because 9 was discipline, and then we talked about perseverance, and that's what step 10 is about. But before I even start, I want to just mention that in order to do to understand or to appreciate or to actually practice these steps in all our affair, or when I say steps, I'm going to say solutions or resources as it pertains to the Word of God. When God is in the center of all of this, from step 1 to 12, in therapy, in your finances, in your families, in your workplace, when God is in the center, that's the solution. So we can have programs, we can have therapy, we can have family, we can have work, but without God, there's frustration, strife, egos, you know, jealousy, envy, all that stuff is really what's dictating those relationships. You know, that's why it's important first that we're born again, so that we can see the kingdom of God, so that we can properly seek the kingdom of God and experience experiential knowledge. So I'll say that these steps help me to experience what it's like to live in the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And I hope that helps people, because some people get a little like, well, I don't need 12 step or anything. When I stop looking at that as like a religious view, like I got to do these steps because that's the way I was living them. And it wasn't only with alcohol, but when I did it as, wow, this relates to the first three, being born again, receiving Jesus, receiving the Holy Spirit, surrendering to God, like everything started to change, because I can do that in every part of my life. Now, I may have done that to be born again in my spiritual awakening, But then there was a lot of natural things in my life that I was not willing to give to God. Whereas when I went back and I looked at how it pertained to my being born again, I can do it. I can experience the same results in my finances, in my family, in my job. It doesn't have to be, a drug addiction or alcohol. It could be in anything in our lives. We can apply these principles and steps. For me, I saw it clearly, and it helped me see a way I can actually walk this out. Because, you know, there's times when you sit, maybe even in service, and, you know, you talk about faith or prosperity, and you just still don't understand. I know for me, even when I first met James, I had these principles in my life. I just wasn't applying them to as they pertain to God. You know, I was applying them to my own life in a natural way, not in a spiritual way. And when I would do things, you're like, well, how do you know? And this is one of those steps that when I said, I got to get out of myself and help another person, because I was building a resentment, or, you know, I had fear creeping in. And this is something that I can see, oh, this is what God means about that. So I use it to reference what the word is saying about certain things, because I have already practiced these things in my life. In the wrong way. Just like we do a lot of things before we get born again, we're practicing everything in the wrong way. Even love, you know?
Yeah, and I was just sharing that. Amen. About self-pity and the self-pity, if you, which is just the name of the spirit, right. Depression, let's call it that, so people can not block it out immediately and get rejection. I don't want that. But if you can get your mind on somebody else, I was sharing how with you, we'd only been talk a little bit, and we hadn't really gotten into spirits much, but that how you said you had to get out of yourself, you're going to go to a meeting, and so you could get your mind off yourself. And I shared with him, I was like, most people, I have people that calls me for years every time they're, you know, depressed, and rebuke this thing, and I'm like, well, did you rebuke it off yourself, you know? It's one thing at first, but when you 5 years, they're still calling you. I mean, you need to at least try themselves.
Gotta
try. They can't do it.
Yeah.
And I said, so here's someone that didn't even know the Lord and was actually doing better, not even dealing it with from a spiritual sense, just because it always keeps you focused on yourself. And I was just sharing with him because I could tell what he was kind of dealing with.
Amen. Amen. So up until this,
just bragging on you.
Sorry. So up until this point, you know, we begin at the born again experience, because we're building character, we're building characteristics, and we're growing our tree. So step one helps us do that. But up until this point, up until step 10, we have grown, we should be growing some fruit, and we should be changing in our ways. I just want to read. I'm a little bit far away from the hearing. So some of the principles and virtues that we grow. Step one is we admitted we were powerless over whatever it is. You know, for some people it's alcohol, some people it's sex, some people it's anger, some people it's smoking, or whatever the powerlessness, because we're allowing that to reign in our lives. We're allowing that person, place, or thing to sit in God's seat in our heart. Okay? And most of the time it's because we think we have control over it. And it really has control over us, and that our lives had become unmanageable. So anything that's starting to cause instability in my life immediately is probably ruling my life in some way. And that gives me honesty. When I first admit this and I get honest truth, the truth makes us free. It gives us liberty. Jesus is the truth, right? So as soon as I start doing that, I start to I get the awakening, the spiritual awakening, because it says that all men sin, you know, and that's the first thing I have to recognize, that I'm a sinner, and the only way I can be saved is through Jesus Christ. And then step two, came to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. And that's where the Holy Spirit steps in for me, because it's the Holy Spirit that Jesus died for us so that we can receive the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit can have a relationship with us, minister to us, teach us, rebuke us, all the things of God, all the word of God, right? And that's where hope comes in, the hope of glory, lives in me, lives in you. If you're born again, praise the Lord. And then step three, made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood him. So God doesn't care. He's where you're at. If you invite him, he's right there. But if I don't see him because I'm too busy doing my own thing, then he's not going to bust down the door of my heart. He waits. He actually is the one that invites me into the kingdom. I have to say yes to the call. And as soon as he's a gentleman, he's not going to pull me to get in there. He's going to wait patiently, like he teaches us, patience, because that's his character. That's perseverance, what we're going to be talking about. And until I'm willing to adjust my life to fit in his plan, not him fit into my plan. And then and that's where faith comes in at step three, is faith. That's when I'm at a better understanding, and Father God now is, I can be in his presence, Holy Spirit's teaching me, and it's a full spirit, soul, and body experience. It should be at this point, right? And then step four, we talked about, it's made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. That's courage. I have to look at myself. Clean house. You remember we talked about fears, resentments, harms done to others, sex harms, because God says to be fruitful and multiply. So if I plant a seed of anger, I'm going to grow a tree of anger. I can't expect oranges if I'm planting bananas. I have to, God said it's a spiritual law, seed after its own kind. So I want to plant love, forgiveness, peace, joy, all those things. And that's what the fruit starts to develop in my life, in my character. It's about character, God's character, right? And then five is admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. I can no longer hide behind bushes. And I have to be accountable for myself. And that's where, when you're with someone, and that's where integrity comes in. The four is courage, and five is integrity. That's where I'm going to be a person of my word. I'm going to look at my own self and say, be accountable to my actions. Most of the time in my resentment, my fear, and my harms done to others, sex harms, I was 50%, I was 100% of the problem on my side. But I was 50 when I was with another person, place, or thing. So I have to remove myself, own my 100%, and I no longer have to participate in their percent. I can stay on my side and keep that bridge down so that they can cross over if they want. If they see the person, see the new man, the new identity, the born again person living a life that's full of love, peace, joy, freedom. Okay, because most of the time the people that I was running with, or even in my own family, they believed the same thing I believed. They were old wives' tales. They were old belief system, worldly beliefs, views. Maybe even on the street, there's a whole other set of values and moral views on, when you're living on the street, whether it's with drugs or alcohol in the bars. There's different cultures with different moral values and virtues that they go by. You know, when I was choosing to be homeless because I didn't want to live by rules, I had to learn a certain lifestyle. And so God says, now you're in the kingdom. You got to learn this lifestyle. Praise the Lord. So step six is we are entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And that's willingness. Am I willing to allow the Holy Spirit to correct me and to show me what needs to be removed from my soul inventory, my brain, my mind, will, mood, emotions that I continue to try to use, right? But they're not helping and they're not working and they're not in the best interest of my life or another person's life. So am I willing to surrender those things? And seven is, and that's willingness. And seven is humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. So that means for me, and that's humility. That's, I am not going to use anger for anger in this situation, shortcoming. I get a moment where I can test my faith. Am I faithing in living on the street? Am I faithing in being tough, you know, in my house? You know, I want power and authority. Am I faithing in God's word, where sometimes I need to humble myself? Sometimes I need to, you know, say I'm sorry. Praise the Lord. And that's humility. And then eight, made a list of persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And that's brotherly love. That's loving my enemies and the people that are good to me. That the real test is, can I love the one that curses me, that talks about me, you know? And believe me, I mean, it's hard. And we all have to go through it. No one has a free pass to get around these things. We all need to practice these principles in all our affairs and practice the word of God in our life. If I don't take action, I'll never really, how should I say this? I get to experience God when I experiment with his word. You know, like, he reveals himself as I take his word and put it into action. I get to see who God is more and more. You get closer with him. That's the whole point of the word. It's alive. It's active. It's sharper than anything, you know? So we want to use it. How do I apply his word in this area? And if you don't know, and I tell people all the time, if the problem is finances, then look up scripture where God says he's going to prosper you. About tithing, he gives us the solution. Now, we might not have the solution to the exact house to buy on the street or things like that, but he has a solution for maybe yielding till you know and you find peace in that decision. So there's always a way to get him to connect with God, to get him involved in the center of it all. He wants to be, but I have to adjust myself to get where he is at. He's not going to leave the throne because Luann has a problem. He already did all that for me. I got to figure that one out and say, okay, God, you did it. What are the promises? You know, I got to look him up. I got to spend time with him. All right. And then 9, and this is what we just did, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. We have to be very careful about how we go around. I know, you know, and sometimes there are things that we've done in our past that are better left unsaid, dug up, leave it. And there's other ways God will show you how to make amends in an indirect way. We have direct amends, indirect amends, living amends, and then people have passed away. There's ways you can address those people too, so that your heart is pure and open and ready for more of what God has for you. And that is, that's discipline. And, you know, I was reading Derek Prince today. I get his, like...
I was just sitting there thinking, I wonder if she read it. I just, right before you said that, like...
I didn't read the other book. I read that book, but I get, like, a newsletter from him, so read his stuff, and it was about do not hate discipline. I was like, ooh, I'm printing this, and I'm going to read it. And it's in Proverbs 5:11-14. It says, at the end of your life, you will groan. When your flesh and your body are spent, you will say, how I hated discipline, how my heart spurned correction. I would not obey my teachers or listen to my instructors. I have come to the brink of utter ruin in the midst of the whole assembly or the whole church. And that's Proverbs. And, you know, that's a reminder. When we go against God's word, we live a pretty much a torturous life, you know, and we don't have to.
Well, the other book was talking about all the times it says about disobeying the voice of the Lord.
Yeah.
You need to be hearing the Lord, and the real problem is when you disobeyed something he said to you.
That's right. Because he says, I know those who love me. Those who love me keep and obey. So you might know them. You might keep them in your mind. But if you don't obey them, that's the second half of it. You know, I can read the Bible, and I know a lot of people who can recite the Bible. I can't recite the Bible like that, but I know when I get a word from God, I do my best to obey that word if I'm going to apply it. If that's what he's giving me, that's daddy saying, here, take this. It's more valuable than currency. Mm-hmm. You know, it's his gift. So, and step 10 is where we're going to start today. And that's continue to take personal inventory. And when we're wrong, promptly admit it. And this is perseverance. We got to continue to do these things on a daily basis. Because daily bread, fresh bread. I can't live off of yesterday's bread. And, you know, even in 12-step literature and God's word, it says day and night, standing, sitting. We should be meditating on the word. We need to repent, all these things. And in step 10, it's you can find step 10 if you do have 12-step literature, like the big book. And the big book comes in all different, you know, OA, AA, NA. They all have them. It's the same book. It says it starts on page 84. And I know it says in step 11, and that's 86. But it teaches us how to do an inventory. And it usually starts at night so that we're fresh. And we can be in his presence in the morning. If I don't get rid of the stuff at night, I have an impure heart. So God wants us to review during the day even. Sometimes it happens quickly. Like I did something and I need to say, oh, Father, forgive me for that. You know, I don't want that to get in between me and you. So it's so beautiful because the more I grow, and you guys are hearing me grow too because I grow every day. But this is like from when we first started this, even this program. There's so much growth. I go back on some notes and I'm changing them because I'm like, oh, no, this is a little bit better than saying it that way. And it's fun. You know, the journey with God is a lot of fun. But what I'm saying is as even in the literature, it teaches us how to be right with the Lord and how and a process of doing that. Now, there's no religion involved in what I'm saying. Because what happens is it becomes second nature. It doesn't become like a ritual I have to do. It becomes who I am, you know? Mm-hmm. In the beginning, I'm like, well, I probably should repent for that. It was more conscious. You know, I was more conscious of me, of course, mm-hmm. in the beginning. But eventually, it's more conscious of God conscious. Like, oh, that doesn't feel right. Mm. You know, it's more about what God is doing. Mm-hmm. Not even what he expects from me. It's what he's doing. I want to be part of what he's doing. You know, he loves me, even when I act like a fool. But I want to be a part of what he's doing. And he's always doing something, you know. And I, if I'm aware of that, God conscious, like we had talked about in the past and some of the other steps, then I need to say, what can I do to be part of what he's doing? And there's always something that I need to. And it's usually when I am in the right place with God, there's a sacrifice, meaning it has to be like my time, you know, maybe finance or maybe, you know, moving something around so that or stop doing something so that I can serve, you know. And that's what he likes. He likes that kind of heart, a serving heart. So step 10 starts on page 84 in the big book. If you did want to read all of that, it says to continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. I do that during the day. And I know a lot of people for many years. I mean, I've been around, you know, in this arena, the 12-step arena, for many, many years. And coming into the kingdom, you know, it's just like such an awakening because I understand everything clear. But I know a lot of people that have been around for a long time in the 12-step program. And this is second nature for them, too. You know, and once they got the kingdom information, it was a whole other world, kingdom. You know, you get catapulted from the worldly views and the worldly ways into gloriousness. I mean, it's just freedom. It really is. I thought I was free and it was very limited, my freedom. You know, it was very limited. Today, I'm truly free. But even when you're not drinking and you're showing up and you're not drugging and you're not, you know, all these things, and you can kind of like adjust things in your life to fit that, and you're showing up to things, so life is getting better. It was still so limited compared to today.
Addictions too.
Yeah. So
yeah, I don't drink, but I eat about 500 pounds of chocolate a day and 10 glasses of coffee every 15 minutes and chocolate.
Right. So we have to watch for these things like selfish, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. And because that's the thing that will separate us from being in his presence. Okay, we want to be in his presence, God conscious. Because if I'm worried about selfishness, what I'm going to get, then I'm not thinking about God. I'm not saying, how can I serve? If I'm being dishonest, then I'm not caring about being truthful in the kingdom. If I have resentment, then I'm allowing anger to manipulate me to stay away from love, peace, and forgiveness. And fear, worry, all that stuff will pull me right out of the kingdom too. I mean, kingdom mindset, I'll say. All right? Our spirit, we get born again, but we can live a life of hell here on earth. Okay? We get to choose. Do you want hell on earth or heaven on earth, basically? Right?
Blessing or curse, you choose.
That's right. So when these things crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone. So we're doing another fourth and fifth step, basically, immediately, and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. And this is important. So sometimes, you know, I mean, I do this often. I'll share with another person. You know, it happened just recently. I was saying something and a person responded to me, and I felt like, ooh, maybe I allowed pride to get ahead of me. So I was talking to them at a later time, and I said, you know, I don't ever want pride, because I said, I know.
Yeah.
In the conversation, I said, I know. And I heard myself afterwards. It was like a replay. And I'm like, oh, I have to tell that person, I never want that to get in the way of what we're doing.
I know. No, I'm kidding.
Of what we're doing for the Lord. You know, he's first.
Well, the big one's like, I told you so.
Or I told you so. Yeah. That's another one.
I told you that.
Right.
Like, what's the difference?
That's right. Amen. Right? So we have to be mindful. Be mindful about our words, because the enemy's cunning and baffling. He will, you know, get you a little bit off. He knows how to manipulate the word. He knows how to manipulate us so that we hear the word, but just a little off. And of course, we're justifiers, you know, because it fits my need at the time. So I can easily agree. And that's not right.
In the end time revival, 20 years ago, God had gave me a dream showing me basically that pride will keep you out of it.
Yes. Amen. So the 10th step is an action step. It's something that we have to start practicing in our life, doing. And it's experimental. It's an experiment. What is it? Experiential. Thank you. Don't you guys just love me? I'm learning every minute. Experiential step. And we have to practice them. So it's like a leap of faith. We're going to practice our faith. What do I believe? Am I standing and speaking and doing what I believe? And so we need to keep this simple. It's daily. We have to do this daily. Daily sanctification. We have to walk out our sanctification. God says, you have to do that. You have to be the one to walk this out. He can't do it. He already did everything. He gave us everything we need to be able to walk each day in his presence. But it's up to us. So it's a maintenance step. It's a step of action. It's the mini 4 and 5 steps. So if you haven't done that, this is going to be difficult. That's why it's nice that we do them in order. And it's not because we have to do them, because if we don't, we're going to blow up or go to hell. That's not what I'm saying. It's not a religious thing. It just helps me, and I'm hoping it helps other people, see how you can practically walk out God's word in your life and live in the kingdom day and night. Praise the Lord. So I have to ask myself these questions in every situation, not only at night, but it can happen in 2 minutes. You know, once my son gets up, I can easily get right back. I got to call somebody. But am I being dishonest? Am I resentful at someone, person, place, or thing? It could be a phone call from the IRS. All of a sudden, you hate the government.
And it'd be a phone call. You can just watch a little whatever you're
watching. Or TV, yes. Yeah, the news. You know? Yeah, those little things. You know, the enemy's relying on those things to get us off track.
Yes.
Distracted from him. Am I out of line with someone? Did I say something wrong, or did I do something wrong to a person, place, or thing? These are the things. And because when you practice these principles in all your affair, they become a lifestyle. So immediately when I say something, sometimes I say something like that happened a little off, it gets highlighted in my heart. It's like, ooh, there it is, because God's touching my heart. And that's, instead of giving it to the enemy, I don't give it to the enemy anymore, because God is so close that he can touch my heart. And I hope that helps somebody. He's so close to you that Don't let the enemy tell you it's shame or guilt or condemnation. No, it's correction. It's from a loving father, that little tap on your heart or your gut, you know, or that thought in your mind that doesn't line up with God's word. Take it. Take captive that thought and say, hey, is this right? That's what God wants us to do. And then it becomes part of who we are.
And it's when you have thoughts of things you've already repented of, that's when it's the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Condemnation.
Yep, of course.
God does not bring up things that you've repented of.
Amen. Amen. It's in the...
Now, he may show you, like, now, I will say this, like, you may be judging somebody that's not even as bad as you used to be. He may be show you, like, remember where you came from? That's a little different.
And that's out of love and correction. It's not out of, right, condemnation. Amen. Because God will bring things to your remembrance. That's what he does. He does bring not only his word, but he does line it up with the word. Like, come on, you know this, you know.
Yeah, the ill feelings come with a condemnation too, you know, like, oh, I can't believe I did that. Or,
yeah.
You know, and it'd be something that pops in your head every once in a while.
Yeah.
It's 10 years ago. Could be something from when you were a kid.
Mm-hmm. So take responsibility for, I have to, every one of us do. And I think this is part of maturity, spiritual growth. And maturity, natural growth. A lot of people don't want to take responsibility. Look at all the people. That would be a judgment. You see, I got corrected. I won't say that. But there are people that don't want to take responsibility for their life and their situations. So I had to learn how to do that. Take responsibility for my behavior and my circumstances. And my sinful behaviors. I had to learn what sin was. You know, I didn't realize that. You know, and anything that doesn't line up with God's word, that's out of order with God, is a sin. So, I mean, it doesn't have to be this big old thing. It could be very subtle, but the more you know his word, the more you know him, the easier it is to see them, to see what side of the table you're at, kingdom or the world, basically, darkness or light. Because the light shines on darkness and, you know. Okay, so with that, let me see what else. Do I have anything on my little intro? Yes. Oh, so resentment solutions. These are the solutions that are the program gives, but God gives the same ones. It's so amazing, you know. And, you know, let me tell you, I was doing these things, but I was doing them without God, and I wasn't getting the same results. See, that's the difference. Today, I do them with God in my heart. And the results are different because I've been in the program since 1992. So I know these steps. I've lived them. I've done them out of my own works. And I've had some relief in certain areas, but it build back up again, you know. And I've done them without God. But when you do them with God, it's a whole different experience. The results is so different. You know, they're eternal results. They never go away. You have them forever. Praise God. Now, the enemy might make you try to think you don't, but you do. So these are the solutions that it says, even in the big book or 12-step, even in therapy, you know, they might stay away from this one a little, but it says it in the big book. Pray, love, and give, bless to those you are resentful to. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. It tells us to do that. But if you don't know God, you're doing it unto yourself. For your own relief, for your own, you know, pleasure, basically. But when you know God and you do it unto him, it's eternal. It's a freedom that, I mean, I it's just, it's incredible.
I don't see how anybody, why they would do it if they didn't know God, though.
Because we don't want to drink again. We don't want to use again. We don't want to be angry again. So that you do it for that cerebral freedom. You don't do it, you know, like, and usually pride's connected to that. Because I don't want to start all over. You know what I mean?
It's like that manipulating chip.
You're doing it to yourself, yes.
I've heard guys that, one guy's like 20-some years, he goes, yeah, I sure would have drank this weekend if it wasn't for having to pick that white chip up on
Monday.
That's
what I'm saying. It's for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
You know, today, it's totally for the wrong reasons. It was for me. So, let's see. Resentment solutions, pray for those. And that's in Matthew 5:44. You want to read that? Let's read that. Matthew 5:44. Do I have it written? You got it, James?
Oh, I have it in a second. I had the Bible upside down.
5:44.
I think I got that outline. I'm trying to remember what it says.
Praise God. I got it if you want me to.
It's up to you.
Matthew 5:44.
But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you.
Amen.
That you may be children of your Father in heaven, or which is in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good.
Amen.
And sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do that? Or let's say the heathens. And if you salute your brethren, only what? If you salute your brethren, only what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect.
So thank you, James. This is character building. This is growing. God's growing us up to be like him, you know, more like him. And so step 10 is a character building process. And as we apply the word, his word, and our faith, miracles happen in our lives first, in our lives first. So I go from world character, self, the ism, to the word character, who I am, born again in Christ, right? The I am. I am love. I am holy. I am righteous. I am. And I can say that face to face with God and another person. If I'm truly living that way, that's why it's important. We want to be face to face. So step 10 is a maintenance on your new life. It's just to keep you in step with the Holy Spirit.
You know, it surprised me at Beta Satan class I'm going to. He's reading the John Revere book.
Oh, yeah.
And it says right in there, I mean, I know you know this because you've been Henry Wright's, but he says John says that even arthritis and cancer come from bitterness.
Amen. Yeah.
Surprised he knew that.
Yeah. Well, praise God. And
they know more. His wife's on the line. I see Deliverance talking. I haven't listened to it, but so they may know more about Deliverance.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. The more we get into the Word, our spiritually, you know, our spiritual condition starts to take over our mental condition and then our physical condition. And we want to walk by spirit. We want to be spirit beings, because as we walk in step with the spirit, our thinking would be on Jesus, will be on the word of God. And then our actions, our speaking, our thinking, our walking.
If we could remove bitterness and fear, probably 90% of the diseases would leave.
Amen. Amen.
That's just, yep. People have no idea how much that causes.
Yeah. So, because bitterness rots the bones. It does.
Well, it also
even if you think about it.
Behind all autoimmune diseases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you're not spiritually right, and even when you stop doing certain things, you're still not spiritually right. You're still not physically whole. You can't be. You know, you're always either trying to be better, do better, you know, all the time, physically, mentally, whatever it is. And when you put the word in, you don't have to try so hard. The word starts to take over your being. And the word is good. The word is whole, and it makes you whole. Praise the Lord. So don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. It's a very big thing. And I think that step 10 is like rooted from that scripture. You can't, you know, if you're worried, don't let the sun go down. Don't let the sun go down on sin, on anything. It doesn't, not only anger, bitterness, like you're saying, jealousy. We can't be covered by that.
And yeah, I think he says bitterness because he wants people to make up.
Amen. Yeah. So Ephesians 4, 20, 25 through 27, and I'll read the scripture it comes from. So stop telling lies, and that's living in denial, just so that everybody here knows I've done it. Like, I don't have a problem. You have a problem. Why don't you mind your own problem? Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all part of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. So anger will take a position in your life. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. And it does. Not only anger, but anger is a big one because
Bitterness and anger run together.
Amen. Amen. And that's where the resentment comes in. So the fruit is perseverance. Let's talk a little bit about perseverance. It's steadfast. Persistence in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. And that's hard because sometimes, you know, God keeps reminding me right now, you know, the roots, the tree grows underground first, basically, you know, and I'm like, ooh, because I want to see something, you know, and I have to be patient and persevere. And in my patience, I got to keep action going. I can't just say, well, I'm just going to sit back and wait. He wants me to keep the flow in order to grow of his Holy Spirit, of his word going, because that's what activates, you know, the growth is acting out his word in the situation. So even though, and most of the time it's not what I want to be doing, but it's what I need to be doing until the fruit comes, you know. And it's better to know what's under the ground, what's planted under there, than to just get the fruit up and not know what the roots are, you know? And that's part of deliverance. Because once we start changing, we start to see, oh, that's rooted deep from something that's not of God. And that's where deliverance comes in. And 4 and 5 and 6 and 7, all before we did all this. Hallelujah. Did you want to say something?
No.
Okay. So we and some of the words that you can use outside of perseverance is staying power. Oh, that's good. In my staying power, or am I letting another power? Am I staying in the power of the Holy Spirit during the process? Diligence, endurance, patience, commitment. That's
long
a big one.
Suffering.
Long suffering. Resolve. Firmness of purpose. Those are wonderful ways to see what perseverance means. And once I started learning more about the words that God uses in the Bible, other stories start to make sense. Because then I could plug in it. Oh, he talks about patience in that thing, or diligence, or like you said, long suffering. Now I know what long suffering really means, you know, when we talk about his love letter to us. So 10th step is we continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. So ask ourselves in reflection and daily meditation with God. So we do in the morning and at night. So I want to be right with God in the morning. So I do an inventory at night. It starts at night in the literature for a reason. I believe for a reason, because if I'm full of myself, when I go into prayer in the morning, there's no room for God. I'm full of me. You know, what's my worries, my fears, my resentments, and he's like, no, 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 no. We talked about that in step 9. You need to leave that there and go take care of that stuff. And that's what that night reflection is for. Can I, you know, rest my head? I'm not going to let the sun go down if I'm PO'd of somebody, really. I'm not going to let the sun go down if I'm worried about something. You know, get a scripture. Let God cover you before you go to bed. You know, I used to wake up with that doom, that gloom, you know, like financially, or I have such peace today. It's amazing. I can't even believe I'm not this person. Like, when did this all happen? Because I went from being with someone that took care of me financially and everything, you know, successfully, to having to do it myself for a long time without God. And it was a struggle. Mm-hmm. You know, it really was. For many years, I just lived in fear, like, oh, my God, I'm going to do something wrong. I'm going to lose everything. I'm, you know, and it was a horrible way to live. And then I got delivered, you know, and I was a Christian, and I was still had a little bit of it. Not as much, but a little bit. And I was watching Derek Prince. And he was talking about something totally different. And he said, the spirit of poverty, you leave right now. And I was like, boom, like a jolt came out of me. I was like, oh, my gosh, that's what I had. And ever since that day, it's all his. You know, he'll multiply it. He'll give it to where it needs to go. I don't really worry about that. Praise the Lord. It's a freedom. That's where the liberty, that's a sanctification of being, you know, bound by finances. For me, it's freedom now. I got liberty. Hallelujah. And I, when we say these stories, it's to help people who are hearing, who are listening, because it's so important, because this is how we grow. And this is when we get the information, that's where the light bulbs can, the revelation starts to come with the information of God's word. So in the morning, and that's at the beginning of the day, during the process. I want to have a good process. You know, when God create, when he was making creation, he said, and it is good. And then when he was done, he said, and it is very good. That's at night. Like, okay, now I can rest because it is very good. And I feel like cleaning our house, our temple, our vessel, where he wants to dwell and operate through us is really important. So it is good. Have my choices and behaviors lined up in agreement with God's word today. That's all, even right now, not only throughout the day, I don't have to wait till the nighttime. I can do it, a spot check, any time of the day. All right? And is it very good? Is at night for me? I ask that. Did I fulfill the things? And if not, okay, God, you know, tomorrow's another day. Show me what you'll have me do. And sometimes I ask for visions and dreams for if there's something he wants to tell me. Because he loves to talk to us. God doesn't stop ministering to us. He doesn't stop talking to us.
Amen.
Amen.
Spend half your life in sleep. So.
Yeah, right? That he probably did that strategically. It'd be a bigger mess in the world if we were up most of the day. And that's probably why, you know, oh, never mind. I was going to say, like, you know, people who do shady things, it's done during the nights, you know.
Oh, there's definitely stuff to that spiritually.
Yeah. Amen. So Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in both to will and to do for his good pleasure. God's will be done, not mine. That's what I put in parentheses. To do for his good, for his kingdom. What he's always thinking about advancing the kingdom, infiltrating lives with the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like Jesus came to share that experience with people so that people can experience what it's like to be in the kingdom. Okay. Genesis 1:31 says, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. So when it was all done, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Praise God. And praise that's God. What is that? Creation, man, right? So The next day you wake up and there's his man in the morning, ready to serve and be available for God. Because we have a clean heart. We're ready to go, ready to do his work.
And you rest.
And we get to rest.
Right? 7 days. But
yeah.
I always thought it'd be cool not to have to sleep. But I was up once, the Lord had me up. I didn't sleep 1 second for 7 days. And I'll tell you, that is the most boring thing you could ever imagine all night, every night.
Yeah.
Wide awake.
Amen. Psalms 139:23-24 says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is important because if I don't know what to, you know, to do an inventory, I can ask God, check my heart. Holy Spirit, check me. Let me know if there's anything that's off, right? So the vessel is clean. My house in the 10 steps, so you can be a good, pure, and right service, respectable to God, and in his presence to be used. He's ready to use us at all times. Are we ready to be used is the question. you know, we say, God, use me, God, use me. He's like, yeah, well, first you got to go make an amends with that person. Yeah. You know, and maybe you should stop doing that. You know, and this is not condemnation. This is truth, what I'm speaking. You know, if you want to be used, ask him to check your heart. See if there's anything that is in the way. So by continuing our personal inventory on a daily basis, and that's meditating on his word day and night while sitting and standing in this scripture for that, we can face sin eye to eye. We don't have to hide. We repent when we are guilty of sinful behaviors and forgive others of their acts, right? Hiding behind sin, guilt, shame, remorse, worry, fear. That's what Adam did. That's what Eve did. And God, even then, gave them a way out to be able to function. So he always gives us a way. So we don't have to hide behind it anymore. And some of the prayers that I had gotten was, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned by choosing whatever it is that I'm choosing over him, over your nature, your godly nature of maybe it's forgiveness because God is forgiving, right? Thank you for the freedom and power through the blood of your love, Jesus, to choose today. We get to choose. Today I choose forgiveness or charity or patience. You know, you fill it in over whatever it is that I was choosing. Resentment. In Jesus' name, amen. But for the grace of God, go I is a simple prayer. You know, you're praying for another person. But for the grace of God, go I. I mean, we have to be merciful to these people. Mercy and grace. So I think about that. That could be me if I didn't know him.
Amen.
You know, forgive them, Father, for they know not you, what they are doing. They don't know you. And if they think they do, they're lying to themselves, and that's denial. Because I feel this way. And sometimes, and I'm not perfect, sometimes I forget who God is because I'm acting like a fool, and I have to get myself back together again. You know, it's my responsibility to get a hold of it. So step 10 keeps us, our vessel, our heart, our being, clean, washed spiritually, the house that we live in, humble with God and others, creating in us, giving us the ability to be in the presence of God. And that's what we're doing, so that when we wake up, we're fresh, we're ready to serve, to be with him for the day, to do his will, to hear him, to see him everywhere. Lamentations 3:40 says, let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. It's very appropriate. It's important that we test ourselves. You know, are we lining up? Test what you're saying. Bring it to the repentance of the word. The word of God. Obedience. So walk by faith, by obedience to his word. All right? When we return to the Lord, you repent. You're turning your way from the old ways, from the old beliefs, from the old thinking, from the old lies, you know, that I have lived outside of God's way. When I'm living like that, you know. And God's way, his will, his word. If you don't know what it is, get into his word. He'll share with you. The Holy Spirit will start to minister. So look in the mirror and stop blaming others. We repent and make an amends even if the person is wrong. Sometimes that's why God said turn the other cheek, give the cloak. For the sake of love, we have to be willing to go to any lengths to keep unity in the body. Directly or indirectly, we make amends. We say, I'm sorry. Sometimes you just want to send a gift card to someone because, you know, you're making an amends for something, or because maybe they're angry at you. Send them a gift. Praise God. That's step 9, right? So the 10th step is approved for use. We are approved for use. We are for to God. You know, we want to be pure and clean in our heart, in our minds. We're sanctified, set apart, declared holy, clean, pure, morally right, righteous. So when I'm sanctified, I'm morally right in God's eyes. I'm approved by him to be used by him. Romans 12:2-3 says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing, renovate, restore, replacing, rebuilding of your mind. And that's your soul, your mind, mood, will, and emotions. then you will be able, be approved, to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. That's spiritual maturity. You know, sometimes we have to be the person that is maybe seated at the right hand of the Father and be merciful and gracious and loving and kind, even when the other person isn't. For by the grace, and that's the gift of the Holy Spirit through Jesus, given to me, to you listening here, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly, and that's arrogant, prideful, more important than you ought to, but rather think of yourself with sober, and that's right size, that's not intoxicated, clear, sound mind, and we just said it's morally right, right? More highly, and that's, I'm sorry, a sound mind, judgment, the ability to make sense, sensible decisions and conclusions, discernment, is accordance with the faith. But on the word and anointed, God has distributed to each of you with accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each one of you. So we have to remember what we believe in our faith. Does it line up with God? He has distributed what we need for every situation in our life. If we believe, if we rely on his resources and we trust in him. So, James, do you have anything? I'm going to stop here and we'll continue next week to finish it up. But is there anything you want to share? Because we're going to pray out soon.
No, I'm good.
Yeah.
I think you covered it.
Yeah, amen. So, again, you're listening to WCNO. This is Luann Linneken and I'm with James Wrench. And we're just so happy Valentine's Day, everybody. I'm so happy everybody was found time to listen, and we just want to bless everyone, all the ears that are hearing today, that if there's any blocking happening, that by the sound of my voice, that there's clarity and there's conviction in the heart, that everyone listening gets motivated and to be in his presence and to clean house and to want to spend more time with him and fulfill his pleasure and will and word here on earth. We just love everybody here. And again, Pastor Tom, in Jesus' name, I'll end that out. But I just want to remind everybody that Pastor Tom will be here at the last Friday for at the King's Table, King Jesus, to discuss kingdom mentality and a topic. I don't know what it is, so it's a surprise for all of us, but I'm happy you all tuned in. So we'll hear you next week. You'll hear us next week at Friday at 5. Thank you. God bless everyone. Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980. All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecovery.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Hello, I'm Pastor Jerome Ryan, the founder and CEO of the Love Center. We've been serving the region for over 30 years, helping families rebuild their lives. We're expanding our services. The Workforce Discipleship Center, providing housing for the working class homeless. Yes, repeat, for the working class homeless, for single men and single women. We are offering financial literacy and strategies along with spiritual discipleship. For more information, please call the Workforce Discipleship Office at 772-207-6925. Again, 772-207-6925. Our staff is waiting to assist you or someone you know.
Hi, I'm Pastor Lawrence McKenzie. I invite you to listen to Spirit and Truth every Saturday at 12:30 right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Listen, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. I'm telling you, you won't be disappointed. God will meet you just where you are. God bless you.
So you're pregnant, and suddenly your whole life changed. You want to be joyful.